something to cheer you up. So, I'm not on? There we go. So, I have let's get us organized there. There we go. So, I have an FSU joke to cheer you up. As we know, it wasn't a great weekend for us. But to preface that, I need to give you a couple of points about my sons. I have four sons, if you don't know. The oldest, Robert, he was born in Houston, Texas. The second son, Wesley, he was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And the third son, Michael, was born in Atlanta. And then a short time after we moved here, my fourth son, Kevin, he was born here in Gainesville. So we have a little bit of history in Baton Rouge. And that's where our story takes place, is that they have a kind of a Cajun culture in Louisiana. And I experienced some of that firsthand when I went fishing down in the South. It's very interesting. Let's just leave it at that. When some of the people I met down there, there's a lot of believers there too, a lot of loving people, but they have some French background names, and one of them was Boudreaux. And so this is a story about Boudreaux. Now Boudreaux, you might have seen this in the paper. Saturday, he was headed back to FSU. He's an FSU student. He's a six-year junior, and he was pretty depressed because they got beat also. So on the way out of town, the highway patrol was very familiar with Boudreaux, so they saw him swerve, and they pulled him over, and the officer came up to his window and said, "Boudreaux, I'm going to have to give you some tests. You were swerving all over the place." And he says, "As a matter of fact, well, I'm going to give you a breathalyzer test." He goes, "Oh, no, Mr. Officer, I can't take a breathalyzer test." He says, "I'm asthmatic, can't do that." He said, "Well, then I'm going to give you a blood test." "Oh, no, Mr. Officer, I can't take a blood test. You have my hemophiliac, too." And he said, "So, all right, I'm going to ask you to get out of the car, and we're going to have to have you walk that white line out there." "Oh, no, Mr. Officer, I can't do that either." He says, "Well, why not?" He says, "Because I'm drunk." So that was Boudreaux. Anyway, if you didn't get any notes, to take notes as we go along and on the teaching this morning, the ushers will be glad to raise your hand. The ushers will bring you a copy of the notes, and we'll get started on that. I want to say a couple things before. We're going to talk about the model of prayer this morning, which will really help you if you want to establish a regular prayer habit this year. But I want to talk about a few points before we get into that. And the first thing is that, you know, we sang that song a few minutes ago, and it talks about Romans 8:28. A lot of us are familiar with that scripture. It says, "For God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." But two scriptures before that, this is the Apostle Paul writing. This is not in your notes, but Romans 8:26 talks about that we don't know how to pray as we should. And he was including himself. He said we. So even the great Apostle Paul says, we really don't know how to pray. But he says, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So we have a helper. It's God inside of us. So we depend upon him. So I want to say this, that let's not condemn ourselves about what we prayed and not prayed last year or in recent months, because God has a new year in front of us. He has a plan for us. So condemnation is kind of a general feeling, oh, I haven't prayed enough. Well, the Apostle Paul just said, none of us have prayed enough. So let's not beat ourselves up about that. But at the same time, let's get a plan. So he does have a plan for us. So what is prayer? Well, basically, prayer is just communication with God. It's not just a one-way street, us just talking to God about all of our needs and all the things that we want in life, although we need to ask them for things and needs in our life. But it's a two-way communication. We talk to God, and I need work on this too. We need to listen. Sometimes we just like to talk, but we don't like to listen. And God wants to say stuff to us. He really does. He has wonderful things he wants to tell you about how much he loves you. And then he's got plans for you. He's got ideas for you. So prayer is really every day, all day. It's communication with God. He wants to talk to us all day long. So prayer is really what we want to say is the foundation in our life. This is what everything's about. It's that God came to earth with Jesus coming and providing a way where we could communicate and call God our Father. So when we're in prayer, prayer does things. Things are accomplished in prayer. When you're speaking to God and letting him speak to you, he gives you ideas, he gives you vision, and he gives you directions. Most of you have heard that when Pastor Bill was in a time of prayer before he started Victory Church, God gave him, during a time of prayer, the name Victory Church. And then through the prayer and agreement with other people, because we do need other people to pray with, He gave him a confirmation to start Victory Church. So God speaks to you when you have times of prayer, and he really establishes his kingdom. He calls that his kingdom, which is his purposes on earth when we listen to him, when we pray, and when we obey him. So Brenda also was in a time of prayer a few years ago, and God spoke to her that we need to go pray with Chief Jones, and not only our police chief, the chief of Gainesville, but to bring and rotate in pastors to pray with him. So we've been doing that now for 3.5 years, almost every month, and guess what? Crime rates have been coming down steadily. Just because Brenda listened to God and obeyed him, and we have pastors that come in all the time. Now, I found out something interesting, kind of our parent church, Church of the Highlands in Birmingham. I heard Pastor Chris there saying that a few years ago, about the same time we were doing it, somebody came up with the idea to go pray with their police chief. And as a matter of fact, he started prayer walking with the church members, and they invited other people in the community to come with them. And for the first time, he said, in decades, the crime statistics started coming down. So there's just a couple of examples that prayer really does work, and we'll talk about that again as we go along. Now, so our rally cry. Our rally cry should be really to pray first. Talk to God, pray first. Don't do anything, no matter how small or big. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So praying continually. Of course, we can't pray 24/7, but just while you're awake, just be in an attitude of prayer, communicating with God, because he wants, again, to talk to us all the time. So your first fill-in-the-blank on your page there, it reads, prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Have you ever heard anybody say that, you know, when they found out a family member was really on their last days in a hospital room or wherever, and they said, well, has it come down to this that we should start to pray? Have you ever heard that saying before? You know, it really shouldn't be that way. We should always be praying. You know, even in the scripture, you pray for good health ahead of time. You pray ahead of time so that the times when you have to pray for circumstances that are beyond our control are fewer and fewer. Proverbs 4 says that in the latter part of Proverbs. It says that we should pray the word of God. It says that the word is life to us who's found it, and it's health to our whole body. That's the kind of scriptures I like to pray, just to speak a positive prayer word of God over us to keep away things that come our way and make them fewer and fewer. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:13-14, this is a circumstance where Israel was in trouble. They were having a hard, difficult time. They weren't following after God. So let me read that to you. It says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." So that scripture is an important one for the United States, because the church in the United States has used this scripture, especially verse 14, for many, many years. But verse 13 was really what prompted the prophet to write this, because they were in bad circumstances. Israel was in a mess. And how many people know, in some ways, the United States is in a moral decline and in a mess? We need a revival. We need a return to God's ways and morals. Well, I'm reminded of a story back in 1980. Brenda and I were just engaged, and in April of 1980, we went to a gathering. It was an election year. We went to a gathering where they called Christians from every state to come to the Washington, D.C. Mall and pray for our nation. It was called Washington for Jesus. And then that was an exciting time. I think I got 1 hour sleep sitting out in the mall overnight. And then each state, alphabetically in order, we marched around the city and we came back and we prayed for different things. There was really about three themes that I remember that we prayed for, and the main scripture was this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we were praying for God to help us economically. We were in an economic demise at the time. Number two, some of y'all might remember that we had the Iranian hostage situation. It had been going on for months and months and months, and we really wanted to see them released. And then just that God would elect godly officials to help our nation get back on track. So there's a story I heard from a very reputable Bible teacher, and he was talking about, he wasn't quite yet president at this time. He was running for president. His name was Ronald Reagan. But the story goes that Ronald Reagan's mother was a very godly mother and taught Ronald Reagan the ways of God. And in his Bible, she put a notation by the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and said that this scripture will be for the healing of the nation. So that's what she put in. It was many, many years before April 1980. So what happened is that we did get godly men and women elected, quite a few of them. Ronald Reagan was elected president. And on his inaugural day in January of 1981, he did something different that's been a precedent to this day that you may not be aware of. Up until that time, presidents, when they were sworn in, they would be on the side of the Capitol building, which faced the Supreme Court. That was the tradition up until 1981. But Ronald Reagan said to the people there, says, no, I don't want that. He says, I want to turn around and face the mall, which if you've ever been to the D.C., it's a long strip that goes from the Capitol all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument. And he says, I want to face that way because that's where those people were that prayed for our country, and that's where those people were that prayed for the release of the Iranian hostage situation with the Americans, and they were actually released that day, and he was sworn in. So he says, I want to honor them, and I want to face that way when I'm sworn in, and that's what happened, and 2 Chronicles 7:14 came to pass, which was his scripture, and to this very day, they now swear the president at the inaugural address facing the Washington Mall. I thought that was a really cool story. All right. Praise the Lord. That's all exciting. So the name of our teaching today is part one, which is Teach Us to Pray. And let's read Luke 11:1. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And it goes on to say, like John taught his disciples. Now, this is what we're going to read next. A lot of you are very familiar with it. It's the model prayer. But it's exactly that. It's a model. It's not a lot happens if that's the only prayer you pray. There's a lot to the model prayer, and we're going to break that down. But let's read it again. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, we know prayer is difficult, but there's ways to pray and ways not to pray. So we're going to watch a funny little clip of a video of a way I don't think is really the proper way to pray. Let's roll that.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus, and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see, the uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother. And I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps, and she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
Okay, well, that leads us into the prayer model. We're going to find out some ways, some good ways to pray. So on your sheet there, the first one is connect with God relationally. Relationally. And that's what this is really all about. We start with a relationship with God. If you think of him as somebody just way far out there that doesn't ever listen to you, who's too busy for you, we're not going to get a lot of prayers answered. God really loves us. He's really our Father in heaven. That's the very first part of the Lord's Prayer, is our Father in heaven. Romans 8:15 says, you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, but instead you've received God's Spirit. When he adopted you as his own children, now we call him Abba, Father. And the word Abba is just a very intimate word for dad. wow, God is our dad, and he wants to relate to us as sons and daughters while he's our dad. So that's the way he thinks about us, is our dad. Wow, that's just awesome. So let's just keep that in mind whenever you're praying. God's not mad at us. No matter what we've done, our sins are forgiven once we confess them. Just go right on ahead calling him dad. Okay, number two in the Lord's Prayer is worship his name. His name. And his name, his personal name that God gave him was to the Son, which is Jesus. You know, Father is a title, and we do call him Dad or Father, but that's not his name. His name is Jesus. So we worship him. So really, I feel like our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name, is really the entrance into God's presence. So we want to start off with worship to God. It says to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, enter his courts with praise, that's his presence. So God's called us to be worshipers of him. So that's really how you enter in. It's fine to sing some songs before you even start praying, because really, worship is a form of prayer. Did you know that? Worship is a form of prayer. Proverbs 18, verse 10 from the Message Bible says, God's name is a place of protection. The righteous can run there and be safe. So his name is powerful. So there's different proclamations of his name in the Old Testament. His descriptive name is called Jehovah. And some of these things, we're not going to go into this for lack of time, but some of the things you can proclaim his name over you, just the character that he is, the characteristics of he is. So sometimes he's Jehovah our righteousness, because he made us righteous with the blood of Jesus. He's Jehovah our sanctification. That means he's set us apart to be his. Each one of us is personally his. It's not some conglomeration of people. No, you are personally God's son or daughter. He's Jehovah our healer. He heals us. He's Jehovah our banner of victory. We want to proclaim him. God, you are my victory today. No matter what happens, I am walking in your victory, because he's already given us that at the cross and resurrection. He's our shepherd, Jehovah our shepherd. He guides us by being like we're his sheep. He's Jehovah our peace. You know, Pastor Bill talked about peace at Christmas time. He's Shalom, our peace, and that makes us whole and complete in him by being our peace. He's Jehovah our provider, which the word is Jireh. He provides everything for us. So, Lord, you're my provider. And best of all, I think, is he's Jehovah I am. He's right there. He's always there. He says he'll never, never forsake us. He uses that word twice. Never, never forsake us. He's always there, no matter how we mess up, no matter what our feelings feel like. If you are a child of God, he is there even when we mess up. So, number three is pray his agenda first. So, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And I added the word as it already is in heaven, because God's already planned out your day. He just wants you to acknowledge it at the beginning of the day. He has a kingdom plan for each one of us and for his church locally here in Victory and all the church in the Gainesville area and the church in the world. He's got a plan. He wants us to acknowledge it. Let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done in my life today. Now, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. So we need to get that in right priority. We like to come to God when something happens and ask him for something. But we need to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done today. Lord, let your kingdom come through me. Because there's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of people that don't know the Lord yet. And for some of them, we are the connection from God to them. So we want to think about, what is God's agenda? Now, Brent and I, we like to get up in most mornings and we pray. We pray for different things. We pray for missionaries. We pray for small groups. We pray for people, relatives in our life. And I have a little cliche. You may have heard it before. The family that prays together stays together. So I would encourage you, if you're a family or even if you have roommates, take a little bit of time. And I know you're going to have to set apart time, because it's difficult to pray, like we said. But if you'll figure out a time where you can sit down with your spouse, your family members, it will do a whole lot just in your personal relationship. Maybe you've had a little bit of friction, but it certainly will help you in your relationship. So pray together. Another similar scripture is Luke 6:38 says, give, and it's not on your scripture on your sheet here, but Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given to you. And so what does that mean? As you give of your time, God will meet your needs. He knows what your needs are, and that's part of the Lord's Prayer. But as you give Him first choice and first preference to pray for others, God will he'll help you. And I was fishing. Some of y'all saw on Facebook this little fish that I caught. I wanted to catch a hognose snapper, and last week, it's a funny-looking fish. I should have put it on the overhead, but anyway, maybe we'll show it some other time. Brenda has it on Facebook if you're friends with her. So what was happening is the captain was standing on the back of the boat on one side, and I was on the other, and I was catching little fish every few seconds practically, and he'd have to take them off because I just let him do it. So every time he almost would take them off, he would get a fish on his line, and his mother was on the boat that day, and she goes, "Isn't that interesting? Every time Carl has fish, you get one on your line." His name was Kyle, and I said, "That reminds me of a scripture." And so I shared Luke 6:38 with him, and she goes, "Yeah, that makes sense." So later on, I got an opportunity to share a little bit of my testimony with him and gave him a good news track before he left and just planted a seed in him, told him God loves him, had a plan for him. So I just like to look for every opportunity. So as you give, God will give you opportunity. Number four, depend on Him for everything, not just half, three quarters, but everything. And this is where we get the part of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Now, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And if you think about it, it's a question. The answer is no. No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So is the basics of life, food, bread, shelter, we might think, well, I already got that. He says, well, no, you need to thank God every day that you have that. So it's a daily thing. He says, give me this day my daily bread. Don't assume anything, because God wants us to be humble and know that He created everything we have. It's not our great skills that earned us enough money to have bread on the table. It's that He loves us so much that He gave us this beautiful earth, and He loves to hear us and humble ourselves and acknowledge that He gives us every day our daily bread. Amen? All right, number five is get your heart right with God and people. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's all. And as we've heard Pastor Bill said, you can look that word up in the Greek. All means all. So let's start by forgiving other people. I mean, there's some strong scripture in some places, I won't read it, but it says, if we don't forgive others, how can we expect God to forgive us? And so, well, Carl, you don't know what somebody's done to me. You don't realize what so-and-so did to me. I may not be able to personally experience emotionally what you've been through. And you don't have to have your emotions agree with what you're saying out of your mouth right away. Just say it out of your mouth, I forgive them. Because the Lord says it's a command, and it works. When you forgive them, then that releases God to forgive us and for the blessings of God to come upon us. If we don't forgive, we're going to hold back God's blessings, and things may not go so well. So forgive people, because that will go well for you when you do. Number six, engage in spiritual warfare. Now, I know that's kind of like a spooky word, but it's just really knowing that we're in a battle. There's evil out there and there's good, and we're thrown right in the middle of it. So if you will put God first in your life, know that you are in spiritual warfare. We can't just coast through and never pray and never read our Bible. The devil knows that, and he will look for opportunity in our life. So we are in spiritual warfare. And this year, I mean, with the things we see out in the world, I have a feeling there's going to be more spiritual warfare than last year. So we need to be in tune for that. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So our authority, though, we have in Jesus in our own personal life. We have authority over these evil spirits that sometimes are in people, sometimes they speak through people. Sometimes if we're not watching it, they may speak through us. We know that in Peter's case, the Lord had to rebuke Peter for trying to correct the Lord. So if we're not careful, we can speak to one another some things that are evil and say things we wish we hadn't said. So we need to be on top of things. And so we have power. If you've been praying for people, just know that this is a subject by itself. The name of Jesus, the most powerful name given in heaven, earth, or below the earth. That's what the Bible says. So when you're praying for people, pray in Jesus' name. And there's a scripture that says you can bind things. What's bind mean? It means tie it up. Nullify its power. You can't necessarily, if somebody that's an unsaved or an unbeliever in your life, you can't necessarily always cast out an evil spirit out of them if they want to keep it. But you can bind their power. Say, I bind that spirit of fear and rebellion in so-and-so in Jesus' name. And guess what? When we visit some of our relatives, if we remember to do that, it's amazing how much more peaceful the time is with some unsaved family members that we have in our life than it would be had we not prayed. Because there's been times when we hadn't prayed and we go, uh-oh, we should have prayed because look what just happened. And we just remember it. So there's a spiritual war going on and you're in it. So don't deny it. Know that you are in it and use the name of Jesus. I would even encourage you to read beyond Ephesians 6:12. It talks about the weapons of warfare that we put on. We're putting on an armor. And I like to use that passage of scriptures to pray my model prayer, but I found out when I'm praying, it has a lot, and if not most of the same things that are in the Lord's Prayer are in the weapons of warfare in Ephesians 6. And it tells you how to put on each weapon, and then I pray scriptures over it, I do worship with it, and I kind of combine things together and pray God's will for my life for that day. So that's a good passage to look at, is in Ephesians 6. Because Paul said at the end of the passage, now you're ready, pray for me that I might be bold in speaking the gospel. He says, now you're ready to pray for him, so that he can do the work that God had called him to do. So how important it is to have spiritual armor on. We don't want little chinks in our armor where the devil can come in and accuse and depress you and things like that. Now, the last section of the Lord's Prayer is number 7, and it's express faith in God's ability. In God's ability. And the last passage in the Lord's Prayer is, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Now, we in our limited thinking, we think a lot of things are too hard for God. Sometimes small, sometimes big, but not to God. So the more we pray, the more we meditate on his word, we start to think like God does. Revelation 5:13 says, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. This is the model of the Lord's Prayer. We started with praise and worship. We finish with praise and worship. So it's just kind of natural for me. I just love to just sing a few songs after I'm done praying because that's just what God likes to hear. He loves to hear us praise him. So if you don't have any songs memorized, get you some CDs out. There's lots of good praise and worship CDs out there. And just sing along with them, because really, if we're not singing, we're just robbing our own opportunity to draw closer to God. Now, don't throw any stones at me for saying that. But really, when we praise him, God, the Bible says he inhabits our praises. He works through our praises. You'll hear God when you're praising him. He'll speak to you when you're praising and worshiping him. All right, now we're going to look at the part two of this clip that I think he finally got his act together on the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to watch part two of the same guy figuring out the right way to pray.
As to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
I think it's a little bit better prayer than the first one he gave, don't you? Yeah. Well, there's going to be lots of opportunities to pray, and I've noticed this is true in my life. I really like people to pray with. It just encourages me. So that's team prayer, and sometimes a lot of us, I believe, need a team to help us with our prayer life. So I want to give you some opportunities as we close that you can pray. One, as Pastor Bill already said, we're getting ready to start the 21 days of prayer and fasting. That's going to be an excellent opportunity to draw close to God and let God speak to you. Number two, how about start a small group on prayer? Everyone pretty much in here knows we have small groups, and they'll be starting up the first week of February. So you might want to start a small group, participate in a prayer small group. And know this, that all of our small groups, the foundation for them is prayer. We ask the leaders to pray. Brent and I pray over the small groups. The coaches pray over the small groups. The small groups that pray are the most successful. Number three is we have opportunity here on just about every Saturday from 10 to 11. We come in here and we pray for our church needs. We pray for the city. We pray for the nation. That's from 10 o'clock to 11 right here in this auditorium. We'd love to have you come and pray with us. And then on Sunday mornings over in the toddler's room, we have prayer from 9:30 to 9:55. That's 9:30 to 9:55 on Sundays where you can pray, and we pray for the people, for the service, for Gainesville, for salvation, for our city, for you guys out here. And then finally, this time of year is a good time to start reading through the Bible. There's programs that you can read through the Bible in an entire year. So if you mix your Bible reading in with your prayer time, my challenge to you to leave you with this today is, can you not pray 15 minutes? And if you have your Bible reading with you, it's going to be a lot longer than 15 minutes. So you're going to have to just work out the logistics of that. But if you break this Lord's Prayer down like we just did, you will easily pray 15 minutes, and you'll find yourself praying and for probably a good while longer than that. Because remember, listen too when you pray. Don't just pray. So I want to end with this, with an opportunity for everyone here. If you would bow your heads with me. We talked about at the beginning that prayer is about a relationship with God, and that it's a communication with God daily. And you might say, Pastor Carl, I don't have a daily relationship with God, and that's something new for me. And I'm interested in what you're saying. I would ask this question: do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? Now, that's not a question we want to leave unanswered, because there is an answer to that. And I want to share with you today that this is an opportunity for you. If you don't know for sure that you're going to go to heaven, you can know. Because it says in 1 John 5 that he who has the Son has life. That's Jesus Christ. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And the Apostle John wrote there that these things have I written to you, little children, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. So God wants you to know that you have eternal life. So he sent his Son who died on the cross for you. That's Jesus Christ, perfect man. He was all God and all man. No one has ever done that. No one ever will do it again. Jesus did that to provide an avenue for you to have a relationship with what we talked about earlier, calling God our Father. It's through that act that we can now call God our Father, because he forgave us of our sins when he was sacrificed on a cross. When they beat him and sacrificed him on the cross, only pure, unsinful blood can be sacrificed for anyone to forgive us of our sins. And he's the one that did that for you. So with everyone's head bowed, if you say, Pastor Carl, either I'm in one of two categories with that, either Yes, I did pray a prayer years ago, but I'm not really where I ought to be today. Or no, I've never really prayed a prayer to ask Jesus to come into my heart. Because I'm gonna pray a prayer in just a minute, and you're going to ask him into your heart. Because we said that he who has the Son has life. So you need the Son of God in your life. And by the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask him in just a minute. And you may already know the Lord. So if you know the Lord, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. And this is going to be a great year of prayer. But if you say, Pastor Carl, I'm not sure, but today I would like to commit my life to Jesus Christ and ask him to come in, and be sure from this day forward, without anybody looking around, I would just like you to raise your hand and I would like to pray for you. If you're not sure and you would like me just to pray for you, I'm not going to call you out, have you stand up or anything. I just want to pray for you. Anybody would like to know for sure that they're going to heaven? Thank you. Anyone? Okay, well, let's go ahead and pray together. For anyone that needs to pray this prayer, let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are our Father, and you sent Jesus to the earth for me, to die for me, to forgive me of my sins, so that I might have a relationship with you forever. So right now, I ask you to come into my heart. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. I turn away from all things that are not from you. And from this day forward, I commit myself to follow you. So right now, I declare out of my mouth, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Hallelujah.